Choices. We have so many choices these days. What food to eat, what program to watch, who to share our time and lives with, which news to believe or not. Obviously, these are all Western choices. Some of these choices are neither here nor there, but others can have major consequences on others and ourselves. Choices call for information, making value judgments, and determining our faith response. Mark's gospel passage read today portrays a series of events with lots of people reacting in different ways to what Jesus is doing. Jesus' actions call for a choice, a discerning of what he is saying and doing, and what that might mean about him and for them. Jesus is making choices on how he spends his time, who with, where, and what the consequences will be. His family and the religious authorities are also responding to him. Jesus was attracting major attention. Crowds of people are hearing of someone remarkable in their midst who can heal and cast out demons, and many wondered if he was the awaited Messiah. How has it come to this already in chapter 3 of Mark? Mark began his gospel with Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist, who also was attracting crowds from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem wanting to repent and be baptized. They were all awaiting the promised Messiah. After Jesus' temptation and calling of the first disciples, he begins teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum and driving out evil spirits. The whole town gathered at Peter's house that evening to have Jesus heal them. Jesus then travels through Galilee, preaching in synagogues and driving out demons. Returning to Capernaum, so many gathered at the house that there was no room even outside the door. He starts outdoor preaching, and large crowds come to him beside the lake. Crowds from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, I have no idea how to pronounce that, but that sounded all right, and the regions across the Jordan, Tyre and Sidon. That's why Jesus asks his disciples to organise a boat for him to teach from, because the people were crowding him. So it's been extremely busy and exciting for Jesus and his disciples, and the crowds are growing and growing. Our current passage starts in a house again, and another crowd squashes in so much they couldn't even eat. When Jesus' family heard about all this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." And the teachers of the law said, "He's possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." These are pretty negative conclusions by those who should know Jesus better. Jesus' family and the religious authorities obviously don't see what Jesus is doing as God's or the Holy Spirit's way of doing things. And they would know, wouldn't they? It is disturbing to consider that the church authorities and Jesus' family did not recognize God at work in what was happening. The authorities are committed to maintaining domestic and religious life in the midst of Roman occupation, which could be affected by such happenings. They see Jesus drawing major crowds and attention to himself, and this could be seen as threatening the status quo. Jesus responds to the teachers of the law's accusations with a series of short images and strong words of warning. The first images demonstrate that something divided against itself cannot stand, a kingdom, a house, Satan himself. A second image is about tying up a strong man in order to plunder his house. Jesus is disarming Satan and removing demons in the Spirit's power. The leaders called Jesus' power demonic. Jesus shows the nonsense of this assessment and condemns them for their blasphemy. At this point, a message is conveyed that Jesus' mother and brothers are outside wanting to see him. They can't get near him because of the crowd. And Jesus responds to this message with what some would say is a chilling rejection. Who are my mother and my brothers? And he looked around at those around him, saying, here are my mother, my brothers and sisters. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus' response seems harsh. However, it is to clearly demonstrate the Christian understanding of family. Jesus' love for and commitment to the chaotic crowds causes his own family to think he is insane. His family must be overwhelmed and confused, and maybe the final straw for his mother Mary was hearing he wasn't eating properly. That's got mum into action. Once a mum, always a mum. And if my son wasn't eating, I'd be concerned too, because they're so skinny. And with all the walking Jesus did, and heavens knows what he's been eating out there, there's no takeaway. Mary's smart too, because she's brought his brothers as reinforcements. So Jesus' behaviour must have been very odd, despite the cultural and religious expectations of the day. Mary just wants to get her eldest son home safe, fed and rested. For he's attracting the demon-possessed and the sick. He might get hurt or catch something. And his reputation will be ruined, mixing with tax collectors and prostitutes. But Jesus doesn't get annoyed by the crowds, but he does seem to with his family. Jesus demands a different perspective on family. And like all focused people, he will not be distracted, even by close family members, from what he sees as God's work for him at this time. As parents of adult children, many of us, like Mary, have to let go and realise that the God we trust in has plans for our children too, for they are his just as we are. According to today's passage, it can be difficult to tell at times what is God's will. The Holy Spirit moves in mysterious ways, and sometimes it is especially difficult for our families and church leaders to discern. Both are just trying to protect us and fear mistakes, fear evil, and fear being disobedient to God. But that's why we have family, and we have church family. We have church councils and prayer teams and presbyteries and the assembly. And not to forget synod. We seek to make sure we are not ignorant or apathetic in discernment. Whether we agree or disagree, we need to go deeper to our foundations of Christ instead of allowing our present debates to determine our allegiance with one another. Who might you be surprised to see crowding around Jesus? Are you prepared to ignore the reputation you might get by helping and befriending the poor, the ill, the foreigner or stranger? Are you prepared to welcome as family same-sex couples? Will you be challenged by your family and disowned by pious Christians and churches for being inclusive? It's interesting, with my parents, I have both sides. I have Dad saying one thing and Mum saying the other, and I'm in the middle. Well, in the middle of them. Discernment is not easy, and this reading indicates that we can side with Satan when we think we are being faithful to God. That's a scary thought, but one we as a living, loving church need to face. The assembly faces making choices triannually by gathering information, reading the scriptures, sharing one another's thoughts and discerning prayers, and seeking God's spirit of wisdom and love. We need together to crowd around Jesus and to be slow to label choices and decisions as evil or of Satan. We need to apply all the gifts we have together as Christians to discern what new thing the Spirit of God wishes us to be. The Holy Spirit seems pretty wild and disturbing at times and comes to us in unfamiliar forms. Just as Jesus' family, the synagogue leaders, and his disciples misunderstood Jesus' ministry or had other expectations, how might we receive the unexpected? Amen.